All right, hello everyone. Asha Naya Swami here, and we're continuing our conversations with next generation, third generation of Ananda development. First generation Swami after Master in my little tribe, and now this group coming up who mostly fit in as millennials. So I've been talking with Tandava. This is, I think, our third conversation, and in as much as he has tremendous interest in the creative arts, today we're going to talk about poetry. So I'm a wordsmith. I'm dedicated to words, but oddly, considering my dedication to words, I've actually never been that much into poetry, either reading it or writing it. I mean, virtually not at all. But Tandava, for all the Aprils that I have known him, which is now quite a few, participates in the poem a day job of April creativity. So I'm going to start out by just asking you, define for us what poetry is. What's the difference between poetry and other groups of words?
You know, how many poems have been written on that subject? That's the classic question for poets. So I've also always enjoyed words and reading, though it took me a long time to get into poetry. But I've also been a musician. And for me, one of the things, ways I define poetry is it's the addition of music to language. There's an aspect of poetry that relies on the actual sound of the words and not just the meaning, which is why, you know, some people claim as much as it's impossible to translate poetry. And my feeling is more that you can translate poetry, you just get a different poem at the other end. Mm-hmm. And it can never really translate it the same way that you can translate a math textbook or even a philosophy textbook. And so the sound, the music of poetry, the rhythms, the rhymes have a purpose in the words as much as the meanings.
You know, Swami Kriyananda made the comment once that much of the lack of communication among different cultural groups is the rhythm of their speech. Even when they speak the same language, he was talking about the African Americans and the European Americans, you know, historically, and he talked about the rhythm of speech, that rhythm is often the way that we communicate. Is that sort of what you're saying in this?
That wasn't exactly what I was saying, but it's entirely true, and it definitely relates. I mean, you can hear a group of people a little ways away talking, and you can tell it's a different language, even if you can't make out any words, just by the rhythms and the inflections. And you can often even just identify, they must be speaking Spanish, and they get closer, and they are speaking Spanish. Yeah.
So when you say the addition of music to language, but that there doesn't have to actually be a melody. It's the feeling of music.
Yeah, it's the connecting link between songs and prose, maybe you might say.
I see.
But it's the sound, and it has its own kind of music, and we use the word music. I was going to say because we don't have a word for it, but the word is poetry. But you're asking me to define that word, so we're going in circles a little bit. But it's sound. You know, the sound, the literal physical sound of it is as important as the intellectual meaning.
So why did you become interested? What did poetry say to you that other words didn't say?
That's an interesting way of putting it. I'm not sure if maybe we'll get to an answer to that exact phrasing of the question. Mm-hmm. But it started in 2012 when the school here, Living Wisdom School, did a play on the life of Hafiz, who was a great Sufi mystic poet. Mm-hmm. And they had poetry recitations throughout the play. Mm-hmm. And the plays are always just glorious, and it just brings a spiritual life to life right in front of you on the stage. And hearing those poems in a full context of a spiritual life, and you know, the fact that we were in the church performing it also, you know, it was in the right vibe, I think, for me to start just absorbing it and realizing this is beautiful, and it's a beautiful way to experience spirituality. And from there I went and got a whole book of Hafiz poems, And I read through those and I just sort of kept going from there. But that was where it all started, all changed.
I don't know if you do. Do you have any Hafiz poems in the tip of your mind that you could recite even one of? Or is that...
I could do a very short one. It wasn't from the play. But, God and I are like two giant fat people in a tiny boat. We keep bumping into each other and laughing.
It's marvelous.
Yeah, he has some just delightful little gems like that. So that's an easy one to pull out. But and you can see, like, you can fit humor in it as well as serious subjects, and that works well for my personality. Mm-hmm. And so that sort of came through. Maybe this is one of the reasons that Hafiz was a good way of getting me into this, mm-hmm. is because it was spiritual, it was uplifted, it was joyfully in love with God, but he totally has fun with his poetry also, mm-hmm. which is kind of why I do almost anything, really. It has to be fun.
Uh-huh. So that was 2012, that was 7 years ago, so you were a full grown-up before you started.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would write silly limericks periodically and the occasional song parody, but I hadn't really ever taken poetry seriously in any way before that.
So where did you go from Hafiz?
I actually started reading books about poetry as well as books of poetry, because I have a mind that likes to understand how things work. And the more I really understand why people create things the way they create them, the more I can relate to it and appreciate it and enjoy it more. So I read an excellent book called The Ode Less Traveled by Stephen Fry, which was very amusing and very educational.
Now give me the essence of that book. Like, what, because I've never put my mind to this.
So one of the main points of that book is that a lot of people have an experience of poetry where people just assume you should be able to relate to it. And people say, here's a poem, respond to it. And you're a fifth grader, you're sitting there going like, what does that even mean? Respond to it. My response is, I don't want to read this in class. You know, and this is how a lot of people get poetry in school. Mm-hmm. And Stephen Fry, the author, points out that any hobby has its specialized equipment, its specialized terms, its ways of talking with other hobbyists of the same interests, and you know, just talking about what's going on in whatever you're doing, whether it's building model railroads or writing poetry or playing music. And so let's just break this down and say, you know, what does all this vocabulary mean? And why do people write the things they write? And why is it interesting? What patterns can you look for in the writing?
So when you finish that book, or you were going to give me a couple of others that you read. So maybe there's a couple of others that...
not specifically, but...
But so how did that then make it easier or more interesting for you to get into poetry? What did you take away with that changed your reading?
Well, my mind always just has to be involved. Like, mm-hmm. the watching the play got my heart there, but mm-hmm. my mind just wants to know what's going on mm-hmm. and be able to analyze it and understand it and then have things that I can apply. Uh-huh. Because then the next stage for me is always like, oh, I want to do it myself now.
Uh-huh. So you got into, how fast did it take you from reading to writing?
It was the next year sometime. Yeah. By the time April rolled around, my sister and I decided to do the National Poetry Writing Month is what it's called. Uh-huh. And she's been a poetry writer a lot longer than I have. But we got some friends together and just every day we emailed each other our poems. Mm-hmm. And, it's just been running from there.
Did you ever feel embarrassed by what you wrote, or were you intimidated at the idea of writing poetry? Many people are very intimidated to.
Yeah. Before I did, yeah, absolutely. right now, I kind of have the excuse that if I'm writing a poem every day for April, some of them are going to be duds. Mm-hmm. And so I just put that out there. Some of them are great and some of them really aren't. And I accept that. And so whatever.
You know, I have a characteristic of your nature, Tandaba, which is a very positive one. is that certainly compared to most people I know, you aren't inhibited in terms of just expressing yourself creatively. Did you have to work at that, or has that just been the way you've always been? How did you develop that freedom?
I'm not sure. It's true to a certain extent. I think I have to be kind of at a certain level myself before that expresses. I have to be at a level where I'm really enjoying it mm-hmm. and having fun with it, which usually implies a certain level of skill. Mm-hmm. Just because it's hard to enjoy something you're really horrible at, mm-hmm. but not necessarily a huge, huge level of skill. Mm-hmm. And at that point, once I'm having fun with it, I want to share it with other people because mm-hmm. it's more fun to share. Right. This is the nature of joy, is to want to share itself.
What makes it fun? What is the experience here? Now we're moving into art as a hidden message and art as a message of consciousness, self-expression as a path to self-realization. So what makes it fun for you?
The writing of it?
Yeah, the writing of it. Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time, I think it's the experience of inspiration. Uh-huh. I enjoy the final product a lot of the times, except for the duds. Mm-hmm. I enjoy what is there, but it's often just seeing it be created mm-hmm. that is just, wow, look at what just happened there. And that was really kind of how I started writing poetry, like what I consider my first real poem in this phase of my life. I wasn't planning to write it.
Can you recite it?
I can't recite it the full thing right now, but it's the story about it that's interesting in this case. Okay. Because I had been reading a lot of poetry, I had been reading about poetry, I'd started to think about writing it, but I had all these questions, like, and I don't think I had read Art as a Hidden Message yet, uh-huh. but I was wondering, what on earth should I write? I mean, people have written everything, right? What's worth writing that's unique to me, but also worth sharing and being applicable to other people? Mm-hmm. So I had those kind of high-level questions, and I also had just lower level nitty gritty questions about, like, well, why does a poet substitute this rhythm in these particular cases? Like, why bother? Mm-hmm. Like the sort of thing that only the person actually writing it would care about. So don't worry if you don't even know what that means. Mm-hmm. But the point is, I had this whole list of questions from big to small. And I was meditating one evening and a poem just started appearing. Mm-hmm. And it was maybe not the best meditation in the sense of actually doing a whole lot of kriyas, but it was fascinating in the sense that I had my eyes closed and I was just watching lines go by and form themselves into stanzas. Mm. And I watched this long enough that I remembered it all. I was able to get up, write the whole thing down, go to bed, wake up in the morning, and only just do a couple tiny edits. And the fascinating thing was that it answered all of those questions. It answered, what can I write that is something that I am feeling that is also broader, more general, can relate to other people? How do you structure the whole poem? And the last two lines of it had the exact rhythmic thing that I had been wondering about, and I knew exactly why I did it the way I did it, because I could tell that it didn't sound right the other way. And I was just, wow, that is, it's one of the times that you feel so close to God because you've been given such a personalized gift. Mm-hmm. And it's a decent poem. It's not, you know, one for the ages maybe, but it was so perfectly suited to me and what I needed and wanted at that time. And it felt like a gift, and it was just amazing to watch and then have a result that you can always then look back on and say, you know, maybe I don't feel inspiration all the time, but I know it works because, look, here's one of the proofs of inspiration.
So did that really put you, did that give you the confidence then to start saying whatever you felt like saying?
The very next morning, I don't know if you remember, was our extended staff breakfast satsang. And mm-hmm. I brought it in and I said, my gosh, guys, guess what happened to me last night? Listen to this.
Well, I remember being impressed by the poem. That's what
I was too. I mean, it surprised me as much as anybody.
Can you recite any of it or give us even the sense of what it said, or is that?
This was the one that started out, "Oh Lord, I have made a mess."
Well, that's a good beginning.
It was sort of how I was feeling about something that was going on at the time that I was just making a complete botch of. Uh-huh. But it brought God into the equation in a way that was just like, we're in this together. I mean, who made this mess anyway? God, come on. Uh-huh. And just coming to peace with it because God is there even amidst the rubble.
Right. Very, very good. So later on, when you read Art is a Hidden Message, which is Swami Kriyananda's book about creative self-expression and the path of self-realization. That's my subtitle for it, not his. So how did your writing of poetry, how was it influenced? How did you understand it? You can speak in general, because we haven't really talked that much about that book, which I know is very important to you and also to me. So can you first give people an idea of what that book is to you and why it's important to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's important to me because it's about art in all forms, and I love art in all forms, and I practice a lot of different kinds of art, and so I like having the spiritual thread to pick it all up by. One of the main themes of that is that art is an expression of consciousness from the artist and from whatever consciousness the artist is tuning into, and it gets transmitted to us. And so it's worth sort of being aware of what one takes in terms of media of all sort. And it makes it interesting to look at a poem and sort of think, what is the consciousness behind this? What am I relating to with this poem? I'm not just reading words for entertainment, but there's a consciousness there. There's a reality, and I'm connecting to it. And do I want to or not in any given particular case? And then also as someone writing it, what is coming through me?
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that writing poetry has helped you spiritually?
In the sense of inspiration, it's just excellent practice. Mm-hmm. Because inspiration is inspiration. And this is kind of proof that you can get it in any area at any time that you need. I mostly don't write poetry when it's not April. Occasionally I do. And when I'm doing other things, it's hard to put my brain there and get poems. When April comes and I put myself in that, aligning with that particular ray of creativity, which a lot of people on the planet right now are doing, and that helps, I can really observe how everything that's coming in can get translated into a poetic expression. Mm-hmm. And poetry is really just a random thing. It could be anything. Like, what do you need inspiration with? And this is a practice of putting myself in tune with the area in which I need inspiration and learning to receive it.
So that becomes a generic skill is what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So if you need a physics problem or how to talk to a child, it's the same technique. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah. And the details will be very different because you do have to find out how to get yourself in tune with this particular channel you want to be working in. But the basic process is going to be the same, I think.
Well, one of the things about Swami's book, Art is a Hidden Message, is that he not merely condones, but encourages creative self-expression as a spiritual practice, whereas the traditional monastic ideal is that such self-expression would lead to ego and therefore would lead to delusion, and therefore self-expression should be crushed rather than encouraged. Yeah. So talk to me about that.
Yeah, I've never really liked the term self-expression for this, and I guess because I associate with a small s, self, because my feeling is like, why do I need to express myself? Why do I need to put more of this out there? I'm more interested in in finding something that's worth expressing.
Uh-huh.
And but that said, everything I write is filtered through what I recognize as interesting, worthwhile, entertaining to share. So in some sense, yeah, it is an expression of my consciousness. And so you could look at everything I've written and get a sense of me from it, because all these things did come through me. I was just thinking of another way that poetry is helpful, because something I find happens a lot writing poetry is you start with an idea and it changes or just develops into something else. Mm-hmm. And you can watch things evolve. Now, you could take this in bad directions too. Again, it's there's some consciousness flowing through, but if you have a basic yogic mindset of trying to turn everything in an upward direction, you can just make interesting connections with things. And then when you express those connections in poetry that is fun to listen to, fun to say, has a music to it, a rhythm, a rhyme, people experience it in a way that is just more direct. It's easier to relate to poetry in more ways. When you have a philosophy book, you have concepts and they're abstract. With poetry, there's sort of stuff you can grab onto. Mm-hmm. And really feel and engage with. And you can just recite a poem over and over because it's so much fun. But if it's a really worthwhile poem, you're also just getting something worthwhile in terms of consciousness as well.
Well, I have two questions for you that are completely different one from the other. Okay. One is, have you learned something about yourself that you didn't know by looking at a poem that you wrote?
Off the top of my head, I can't pull up an answer. I will think about it, but not at the moment.
When I've written prose, sometimes I find that it's not right because it's not completely truthful. I don't mean that it's a lie, but it's not completely truthful. And editing for me is often bringing what I've said into closer and closer alignment with what is really true, either abstractly or personally. And so sometimes I discover that I didn't know what was true until I had to really try to express it. That's sort of what I'm speaking about.
And that makes sense. I mean, that can be said exactly about poetry as well. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you get yourself worked into a state where you want this to rhyme this way. It's like, but that's not true. And you just have to really address the fact of, are we also saying something that's true, but also saying it in a way that gets the feeling across as well as the literal semantic meaning of something.
I guess it's also part of it when it comes through as a flow of inspiration. Sometimes the inspiration is new to the author. And so it's not like it's unknown, but the articulation of it is new. And so there's a sense of, oh, isn't that wonderful? I mean, you talk about it being fun. That's why I find writing fun. It's like, oh, I didn't really know that.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, that's also just tied up in the creation of this actual new piece of art. Uh-huh. So I don't have it teased apart as much in my head. But
And also, now the other question was, of course, your Swami Kriyananda's lyrics are all wonderful poetry. So in the sense of being immersed in his music, you're also immersed in his poetry.
There's that too.
And that has something to give, I suppose. can you speak of his music in terms of his poetry?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. It's something I've kind of wondered about and don't really have an answer to, is how are song lyrics different from poetry? Because I kind of have a sense that most of the time they are. But occasionally there's a poem that really sounds like a song. And occasionally there's a song where you go, that is an amazing piece of poetry. And it might just have to do with my personal sense of how much it relies on the music or not, and how much it could stand alone without it. Mm-hmm. And it's not something I've become clear on.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that just rolls around.
Yeah. And it's interesting, but I'm always just glad to have both music and poetry in my life. So we don't have to make hard categories of these things.
We have a few minutes left. Do you want to recite or read? Are you prepared to recite?
I can give you a couple.
Either your own or someone else's that we would enjoy.
Okay. I'll give you, let's see, what should we do first? Well, I'll give you one of mine. It's just a short one because these are the easy ones to pull out of my head. That's an example of just taking something ordinary or mundane and just going somewhere else with it. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, at the beginning of my April poetry writing month, mm-hmm. I just got into my head that I was going to write poems about animals. Mm-hmm. And just every day I picked an animal and I wrote a poem about it. And a lot of them turned into just like silly little ditties, as it were, and some of them just turned out to be really interesting. And I felt like it kind of like, you take an owl, and if you're not a biologist, you know, an animal of any sort, if you're not a biologist, you know, like one or two things about this animal. Mm-hmm. But this really focuses you, and you can just focus that energy and see, where does this go? So the poem about the owl, mm-hmm. What do we know about owls? They can see in the dark. Great, let's go with this. And this is what came up. As night falls, I rise. I lift into the lowering skies and welcome the dark to fill my eyes. Ablaze in flight, I know the secret of the night, that we are never wholly without light.
Wow, fabulous.
And I had no idea the owl was going to go there. And it comes from the fact that, you know, they open their eyes wide enough to get the tiniest little glimmers of light in the night. Mm-hmm. But it totally reflects back on us. No matter how dark things are, we're never completely without the light.
Yeah. So now you're answering me. You learn things from writing your poems.
Yeah. And it's something that maybe I could have said before if I had occasion, but now I have an anchor for it. And you know, I recite this poem to myself every once in a while because I love it. It's a beautiful little poem. Yeah. And it's a reminder of that then also every time I recite it.
Right.
So, yeah.
Another. Do you have another?
Another. I'm not sure. I don't actually memorize many of my own poems. Mm-hmm. But I'll give you another one. This is a contemporary one by a lady named Kaylin Haught. And it's called God Says Yes to Me. Mm-hmm. I asked God if it was okay to be melodramatic, and she said yes. I asked her if it was okay to be short, and she said, it sure is. I asked her if I could wear nail polish or not wear nail polish. She said, honey, she calls me that sometimes, honey, you can do just exactly what you want to. Thanks, God, I said. And is it even okay if I don't paragraph my letters? Sweet cakes, God said. Who knows where she picked that up? What I'm telling you is yes. Yes, yes.
Oh my God, how glorious.
Isn't that adorable?
That's
And it's fun to recite, it's fun to hear, and it reminds you that God is always there with you, and you can just talk to God about anything you want.
Oh, that's so fantastic. Now I want everyone to know, tell us the name of your blog, where your poems are.
Yeah, so if you go to poetry.whistledance.net, that is my poetry.
Poetry.whistledance.net.
Yeah.
Whistle Dance.
Whistle Dance has been my domain name forever. But whistle and dancing.
Okay. And or you can just write to Ananda Palo Alto and we'll.
Yeah, or just Google Tandava poem. Well, Tandava poems will probably bring up a lot of stuff about Shiva, so I'm not sure. But if you Google Whistle Dance and poems, it'll come up.
It'll come up. And I highly recommend The April of Animals. That was a particularly enjoyable April.
Everything's there. There's 7 years of poems on that blog, so you can go through all the good and the bad.
Some of them are duds, but many are not. Thank you very much, Tandava. Very enjoyable.
My pleasure. Okay. Always fun.
So fun.